I think you'd be very proud of me because usually on the weekends when I do stuff with my family, I DVR Met games and I get home late at night and I watch it on DVR. Mm-hmm. But on Saturday, we were at a function, you know, where people were around each other like human beings.
Yes.
It was a birthday party, and there were a lot of adults there, kids there, and the family, diehard Met fans, diehard Met fans. So I was never going to go into their home and say, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you not put the Met game on because I want to DVR it? I would never do such a thing.
Oh, God.
So the Met game was on at the party.
So you didn't score it then?
Is that your first question? Did I score the game?
It's absolutely my first
what
question.
What do you think?
No, you didn't score it.
I did not score the game.
Did you subsequently score it?
I did not subsequently score the game.
This is a missed scoring opportunity.
This is a missed scoring opportunity, but I found myself enjoying the company of other people, enjoying watching a game with other people. And so it turned out to be a relatively fun experience.
Does this mean your scoring is going to slow down a little
bit? Not at all. It just means I need to be open-minded when there are events on Saturdays.
I got it.
But it was so awkward because we're at the event, and obviously everybody on Saturday had the same experience. You found out about this assassination attempt against the former president.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the one that found out first. And I got it in the text chain. Like, wow. I didn't get it because I was surfing Twitter, but we got texted in the Mets text chat.
Yes.
And I see this, and I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like, my stomach dropped. I think we all did. We're like, what the hell is going on? So I show it to my wife, and she's like, whoa. And she's like, are you going to tell everybody? And I'm like, whoa.
That's an awesome, pretty, that's a hard responsibility.
Yeah. I'm like, you want me? I know a lot of these people very casually, but you want me to just make an announcement that I think he's okay, but because I don't know.
Right.
We obviously later found out, you know, a guy died covering his family.
Yeah.
This Corey Compitore, who's a freaking hero, and our condolences to him and his family, or to his family, obviously, protecting them when these bullets were flying. Obviously, at the moment, there's a lot of confusion. No one knows what the hell's going on. So I'm like, you want me to make this announcement?
And did you?
Yeah, of course I did.
Wow.
I said, Hey, everybody.
How many people are there?
I mean, 25 people.
That's a lot. And you don't know them all.
I know them. A few of them I know casually. Some of them I have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
And so I got to make this announcement. Plus, there are kids there. So I'm like, hey, there was an assassination attempt against the former president. I just said it. And then I let everyone else go to their phones. And the first response I got was something that is so scary about our society today. The person said, are you sure it's real? And, you know, I thought about that for a second. I was like, boy, that guy's right. Of course, how the hell do I know?
Right.
And what he meant by real was
meaning
AI.
But he was at an event.
No, but we're not thinking that. When you get information like that.
So when it's digital information, you don't know if it's actually real.
Well, that's what the person said to me. Are you sure it's not AI? And I thought for a second. I was like, I think it's not AI. Like, how the hell do I know? But then I started, like, looking real quick, and everybody's like, no, it's not AI. It's on every news agency. So I broke the news, and I did it responsibly.
You broke it to me, too, because I was on a plane.
I did break it to you.
I was on a plane coming back. I had Wi-Fi, so I could get my text messages, but that's how I found out.
It's different me talking to you than me announcing to strangers something scary like this.
I know.
So then the Met game's still going on. I'm saying to my wife, hey, at what point can I say something about the Met game?
How long did the conversation go around about the former president?
So we're at about a good 5 to 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. Everybody's getting their information. Everyone's on their own phone. We see he's okay. He got bloodied, obviously. Right. We all saw that. And then, you know, this guy's on base in the Met game. And I'm like, how do I bring the conversation back to the Met game? Am I allowed to bring the conversation back to the Met game?
And did you?
What's the etiquette here?
Did you?
I did in the most awkward way possible. I'm so embarrassed. I was like, hey, this is a tough spot. In the Met game, like, I didn't know. So I brought it back, and then someone else said, yeah, Budo's awesome, right? And I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. And then we started talking about the Met game.
Look how short attention span our society is. That's really what the indictment is.
Well, I think people went back to it by looking at it on their phone.
Yeah.
But it was more like the Met game's on. Am I supposed to ignore it now?
Right, but think if this has happened 20, 30 years ago. It would consume your life.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It would. I was six when the last assassination attempt.
Ronald Reagan, yeah.
With Ronald Reagan. It was in 81. So I don't remember it. I don't remember it at all. I don't even know if I ever knew about it.
How old were you in 81?
Six.
Six, yeah. It's, yeah.
So, I mean, but I went to the soccer. I went to a bar in Morristown and the next day to watch the Euros. And there was my buddy's 10-year-old. was on her iPad watching the news.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, if I was 10, would I have cared about it?
Oh, my Jet was very into it.
Now.
Yes.
Now the 10-year-old does.
Yes.
But back then, in 81, when I was 6 or 7, I didn't have the means to consume it like that. But I don't think I would have cared.
Yeah.
So it's weird how society has changed and how our kids, who shouldn't be exposed to some of these things at sometimes, are completely aware of everything.
It's tough, man. I especially Jed, who's a little bit older, I want him to know about the horrors of our world. I mean, it sucks, but like, you can't shield kids away from everything.
No, you can't.
And so that there's this juxtaposition of what do you want them to know versus what you don't want them to know.
But knowing and how it's presented are two different things.
100%. I almost want to control what's said to him. Because there's a lot of people out there that are freaking crazy, and I don't want the wrong person trying to teach my kid about this. You know what I mean?
So
that's kind of the dangerous part of it. But Saturday was one of those days that I think we're all going to kind of remember where we were. And we're all going to remember how we got the information, where you were, the reaction to it. My son went with a few other kids in to watch the Brave game that was on TV. And apparently they were telling me it was flipped off of Fox because they covered what was going on. I mean, it's an assassination attempt against the former president and a current presidential candidate. It's a monstrous news. So Fox took the game off, which actually led to another interesting discussion. And this isn't about the severity of the news. The news was incredibly severe. It's more, there's 150 channels. Do you now just direct people somewhere else as opposed to taking events off of TV? In 1963... there's only 4 channels.
Yeah.
So when there's a big, big, big news story, everything has to go off of that.
Yeah, I think.
But nowadays, I don't know if it should be different.
Yeah, it's a calculation, I think, on network's side where they have to determine, is this something that everybody needs to know?
Right.
And obviously, the answer is yes. But then how long do you stick with it?
Well,
so did they go back to the game?
I'm going to give you a comparison that's probably not best, and you can correct me and say it's awful. We are at WFAN. We're a sports talk radio station. When that news breaks on Saturday, I think Paul Rosenberg was on, Tommy Lugauer were on. I don't ever expect that they were going to go into breaking news coverage. But we're a big company, right? Mm-hmm. We're owned by Odyssey. You have every right, like I'm going to say right now, hey, by the way, for more information on what happened and the investigation, you should check out 1010 Wins on 92.3.
So that's probably the thing. So you can't not acknowledge it.
Right.
So acknowledge it, but then send it to someone who's covering it more from a news perspective.
Right. So what Fox ended up doing, and look, I'm saying to you right now, hey, if you want news, I'm not going to lie to you and say you're going to get news here. You should go to one of our sister stations. Obviously, you always pick a sister station.
Right.
But when the Brave game was on, Fox went to Fox News. Well, Fox could have had a banner that said, if you want the news, go to Fox News, because everyone has these channels now.
And because the games kept going.
The games kept going, yeah, of course. Absolutely.
And it's interesting, because I wonder if you're a player and something like this happens. Now, again, the severity it could have been a lot worse.
Of course.
A former president could have gotten killed.
Yes.
Our condolences to the family of the victim who was killed. But it could have been extraordinarily worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so would they have kept playing? That's what you don't know.
I don't know. Like for those that
I would
were,
think not. I would think not.
Like if you were at the Met game, like you obviously probably heard it through your phone on a much more severe level. It's like I'm at the Mets game, Mets Yankees, and everyone knows about the Mikal Bridges trade because they're checking their phone.
Right.
Anyone who was at the Met game on Saturday or the Yankee game in Baltimore, everyone probably found out what was going on through their phone. The same way I found out what was going on at a party. But the players probably have no idea because I doubt they are checking their phone in the midst of a game.
Right.
Very crazy.
There's no chance they didn't know about it.
So you think someone checked their phone in the locker room, came back and said,
or somebody just said it. Somebody had to have known.
But how do they know if they're not checking their phone? You know what I mean? Like, how does Carlos Mendoza know what the hell's going on in the world?
Someone screams from the top of the dugout. I mean, honestly, that's what it would come down to.
Yeah.
And people would respond to it.
Crazy.
And then they'd go check their phones.
Yeah. And then someone goes back to the locker room and says, let me find out what the hell's going on. Absolutely crazy. Get back to your calls, 888.
Breaking news, okay.
Mr. Trump has selected his VP.
Oh, really?
And I was told to tell you.
Didn't I just say, we don't do breaking news here, but you could go somewhere else? You know what? How about this? We won't analyze it, but I'd love to know.
All right.
I'm very curious in a pot. Can I make a prediction?
You can make a guess. Absolutely.
I think I know.
Well, Tiki predicted before the show off air. What was your prediction?
My prediction was J.D. Vance.
His prediction was J.D. Vance. Mine was Doug Burgum, who was already told he's not in it. I'm going to go outside the box. I'm going to say Tulsi Gabbard.
Tiki, you are right.
Thank you.
Congratulations. What do you win?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
In fact,
I just looked at the odds. The odds were 45%.
That's how you got the answer?
That's how I guessed.
Come on now.
I mean, look, it's better than sports odds.
That's true.
Sports odds, like you actually have to play a game.
Well, think about sports odds. There was a 99% chance Alex Verdugo was going to catch a fly ball.
Which means that there was a 99% chance that the Yankees sweep the Baltimore Orioles.
Right. Now watch this. Watch what I'm about to do. Hey, if you want more information on that, you should totally check out 1010 Wins of 92.3 because we're done talking about it, just so you know, okay? If you want my opinion on Trump's VP pick, you want to do a podcast, Rosie?
Let's do it. Let's go.
We'll break it down for you.
What do you call it? The George W. Bush podcast?
it's got to be more obscure. Hmm. Nah, the James Garfield.
Huh?
Yeah. It'd be the James Garfield's one of my favorites, so it'd be the James Garfield. And yes, for those that wanted to mention this, they do find it very scary and odd and weird that you and I talked about Teddy Roosevelt being shot at a campaign rally on Thursday. I mean, and me talking about him finishing the speech and all that, crazy.
I don't even remember what that was about.
I don't remember
why we brought it up, but we've talked about it before.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. Air, and yes, obviously, we are aware of the scary similarities between that and obviously what happened on Saturday. Anyhow, back to the toy store known as sports. This is going around, so let's address it right now. I am not familiar with why this is a controversy, but Angelo and Franklin Square, I guess you want to address a Jet season ticket holder controversy, which I'm a new Jet season ticket holder, so I'm not aware of it yet. But what's going on, Angelo?
I do, yeah. How are you guys? I wanted to pick your brain, Evan, because this is my first year being a season ticket holder as well. Me and my buddy jumped on, you know, whatever. So I get this email saying I'm receiving a package in the mail from the Jets of over a pound. I'm like, what could this be? So I get the mail today, open the package up, and mind you, I think the Jets might have spent about $8.95 with shipping on this. But again, season tickets are expensive, so I open this thing up, and I get a Jets yearbook, which is like ripped up. It looked like a wild animal ripped this entire yearbook up.
What?
So I get a
But the package wasn't ripped up.
The package was not ripped up, no.
Huh. Okay.
The yearbook is ripped.
Huh.
I get four coupons for a credit card, a watch, a Jet watch. I get wine glasses. Listen, you have to pay for the wine glass. You get a free corkscrew. And to dress like C.J. Mosley off-duty, like a coupon for this. The thing is, it kind of ticks me off a little bit because, listen, the Jets haven't won the Super Bowl since, I don't know, might have been like Nixon was president or Lyndon B. Johnson. I don't even know.
It was Nixon. Yeah,
it was Nixon. And we all know what we go through every single year.
Actually, technically, it was LBJ because it was before he got inaugurated. Yeah. I'm sorry. Continue on. I apologize.
No. It's just, you know, all that we've been through, and I'm shocked they saw our fans considering that, you know, what happened last year. And, you know, we're psychopaths, Jets fans. We're always here. And you would think, as a, you know, with ticket prices up, with going to the game spending more money than what the ticket's worth, you would think they would reward you. They want to incentivize their fans to come and be season ticket holders. I have a buddy; he's a New England season ticket holder. There's a wait list. There's a thousand people on the wait list. So, like, something like this is kind of like it ticks me off. You know, I'm spending a lot of money going to the game. They give me a ripped up yearbook. It looks like my high school yearbook from 20 years ago. It's like it's just like
I understand where you're coming from because I think that when you renew season tickets, or in this case, purchase season tickets, those benefits are nice. They make you feel good. You know, when you get a nice, pretty box, it makes you feel positive. And I think if you see what the Giants sent to their season ticket holders, you will be very depressed. Because the New York Giants sent, in my estimation, and I am a season ticket holder now of many teams, the greatest season ticket gift ever sent out.
What did they send? Because I don't know.
They sent out replica championship rings from their Super Bowls, and it was displayed in a very nice and fancy way.
Wow.
The presentation of it was very, very pretty. And as you know, you see it in my office, I love those replica ring giveaways. I actually have a few Met ones that are just on my desk. I think they're awesome. So if you're comparing it to what the Giants did, yes, the Jets fall short. But what I would ask you is this, and this is not a defense of the New York Jets. This is just a reminder. And I say this as a Mets season ticket holder, as a Nets season ticket holder, and even as a Knicks season ticket holder. Why did you get the tickets?
You did it.
But why did you get the tickets?
Why did you get the tickets?
To see the team play.
Yeah.
You didn't get the tickets.
All the other stuff shouldn't matter.
Right. Like, I'm not defending them because you're right. The gift should be better. Like, I agree with you. When the Mets sent something that wasn't as good as a year earlier, I would say, hey, that kind of stinks. But at the end of the day, I'm a Mets season ticket holder to see the Mets. I'm a new Jets season ticket holder to see the Jets. So I understand not loving it. I understand saying, hey, you should do better, but I can't imagine anybody gets season tickets or renews their season tickets for a gift.
The Jets really can't send a bunch of Super Bowl rings, though, to be fair.
Did I set you up for that?
And also, coupons? What is this, like the Sunday newspaper? Can you do a little better than that, though? I know what you're saying. You're getting the tickets. But when the other team in town does something so, like, great and classy, and you follow up with, you know, ripped up yearbook and coupons. But
it's not a great gift.
You look second rate, like little brother.
I just found it on X. This is cool. What the Giants did, you're right, Ev.
No, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
And by the way, it does. The reason why it matters and the reason I bring it up is because you compare. We all do. Mm-hmm. We all compare each other. So if you have a friend who's a Giant fan and they say, oh man, you're not going to believe it. I got these Super Bowl rings. It's amazing. And then you're like, oh yeah, I got a yearbook and some ripped up coupons. You feel very small. So it's not a great gift. But what I would remind you is, why did you get the tickets to begin with? You got them to see your team. And at the end of the day, you want to throw shrapnel at me, I'll throw shrapnel at you. You could take your pretty rings. When you're 4-13, what does it mean? If the Jets are 12-5 and they're hosting a playoff game, you win. And that's not a prediction. That's a spoiler. No, that's not a prediction. That's more, that's why you got the tickets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't get it for the gift. You got it because you love your team and you want to see them play.
But I
got
to tell you, all the Giants season ticket holders, they are really appreciating this gift.
No, it's a great gift.
It is a great gift.
They've been in the abyss for 55 freaking years.
It's a fantastic gift. And I have now seen a few people very upset about the fact that they did not like the gift they got. A lot of Jet fans are not happy about this.
You hate the Jets.
Look, it's not a great gift. I'm looking at a picture of it now. Yeah, coupons. You know, can I tell you what?
So what are you going to get, a toaster oven?
But it is such a contrast to the Giants because they have this beautiful box.
That's the problem.
Box, and there's like another box inside that has four rings, and there's a commemorative ticket.
Yeah.
And there's a note that's signed by John Mara and Steve Tisch. Basically, you know, I'm paraphrasing just parts of this. Your unwavering support of our franchise has motivated us, sustained us, and encouraged us to strive for greatness every year. If you're a season ticket holder, you get this, you're like, I'm a season ticket holder for life.
Okay, but can I counter with this? So 2 years ago, the New York Mets sent this box.
Yes.
I had this very pretty box that like commemorated the history of the franchise. It had sound. It had video. It was unbelievable. And it was really, really nice. Okay?
Yep.
This year, the Mets didn't send anything. A true story. They didn't send anything. But they sent you an email that said, hey, look, here's your gift. You can pick one up to four events that you could take your family to. One of the events was a Mr. Met tea party, which I took my youngest son to. Another event was come and watch fireworks on the field, which I'm going to take my kids to in a few weeks.
Oh, that's cool.
Another event was having like a cocktail party before a Met game. Okay, pretty cool events, right?
But these are experiences.
They're
unique. It's not something that you stick on yourself. It's something that you go and you have a memory around.
Now, would you agree that list of experiences are probably better than a box that plays video?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Before
but it's
I...
not better than a box of commemorative championship rings.
No, those are awesome, bro. But wouldn't it... I don't know what the coupons are. Like, the guy said, I got coupons. What if one of the coupons is a chance to, like, flip the coin up before a Jet game? I don't know.
But who uses coupons? No, so it's a coupon for something to do with the Jet?
I don't know. He's dismissing it as it's coupons. Like, maybe it's 75% off Jet paraphernalia. That's pretty good if I can get a jersey for $22.
Who uses coupons? 80-year-old women? Mm. I mean, and you got a magnet too? Teak. Hold on, wait a second.
You're looking too into the coupon thing. What if it's something cool, though?
So let's say it is something cool. All right, so the Giants and Jets, whether you like it or not, or brothers. Mm-hmm. Teak. If Rondé proposed to his wife and he had this great proposal and Tracy found out about it and you had like a really bad one, wouldn't you have upped your game a little bit? Shouldn't the Jets be like, we have to level up to the Giants at some point?
And by the way, the Giants did this a while ago.
Right. So they should know about it.
They did this in like May.
Okay. Now, I don't know what these coupons are.
Absolutely, Loogie. Absolutely.
Okay, but let me counter this. I haven't gotten the coupons yet. Okay. I just signed up as a Jets season ticket holder. I've got nothing. What if one of the coupons says, don't even know if this is true, before the game, you could hang out on the field and get some autographs. Yeah. Is that better than your stupid rings the Giants sent you?
Probably not, but...
Oh, come on!
I mean, hanging on
you don't think that experience is better?
Hanging out on the field is cool, but like, what do you actually get to do? Your vantage points is different. Now, if the guys actually come over and sign some autographs and take some pictures, maybe that's a great experience. But it depends on, you're right, it depends on the coupons. I won't discount them.
I need to know what's on the coupons. If it's 10% off the team store, I agree. That's pathetic.
Mm-hmm. One of the coupons that I did a search on X, one of them appears to be dressed like CJ Mosley.
Oh, what? My God.
So it's, I'm assuming it's a 25% off of whatever clothing brand he's... Oh. That seems to be what it is.
That's lame. I agree.
Dressed like C.J. Mosley.
Mm. Yeah, a discount on a C.J. Mosley, you know, costume is not doing
it. You know what?
Me.
I'm actually looking at it, too. One of the coupons is to ride a camel in Egypt with Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, that'd be badass. Like, if that was one of them, that's a... Now, is the flight included in the coupon?
That's better than the Super Bowl rings. I get to go to Egypt with Aaron Rodgers?
But that's my point. Like... I gotta ask my wife if I had this mailed to me yet, because I need to see what's in it.
I'm not sure you want to go to that part of the world right now.
No, I couldn't pay me enough to go to that part of the world. But I am saying, like, if it's an experience, like I brought up the med experiences, and you were even like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that's it.
But right now, but it's not like, it doesn't sound like that's what it is.
Yeah, it sounds like it's 10% off
the merchandise.
Jim in West Caldwell. What's up, Jim?
Yeah, I'm a season ticket holder for the Jets for 34 years. And the only thing that I got was the book, a magnet, and that was it this year.
Oh, jeez, wow. That's terrible.
Wow.
A magnet.
Now,
Jim, that's your fault because you've been around for so long. You're like, yeah, he's going to be here forever.
there was one other thing. They give you the paper tags to hang in for the parking. You could do that on your phone or you could do it. And that was in there too. But in the past, they used to send you a box. They used to send you lots of coupons for different things. So to your point, I think that the longer you're there, the less you get.
And by the way, that is a disgrace.
I hope not.
No, I think he's right because I do believe that when a team is trying to get you to join them, like the Jets tried to get me, right? Uh-huh. I had a few conversations. They were very nice, but they're trying to recruit me. I'm thinking about being a Jets season ticket holder. They're probably going to offer me more than someone that's been there for a while.
Great point.
And trust me, I know the under end of things.
But shouldn't they
what are the Nets offering me? What are the Mets offering me? They just know, hey, just roll back the bill up and they're going to come back. They don't need to entice me to come back.
Yeah.
So sometimes you get less appreciated. You know what that's similar to?
What's that?
How we treat our wives and how we treat the girl or the woman that you're dating for the first time. Like, think back. We take it for granted. Mm. Is it not the same thing?
No.
Maybe not you. You're an amazing husband.
No.
Think about Loogie. Loogie's the best example.
I get told what I'm gifting my wife.
I think Loogie, in this case, is the best example.
Yes.
Think about what you would do for your wife when she was your girlfriend, when you were courting her, as they say.
Yeah.
And think about your conversations now. You treated her 50,000 times better then than you do now.
No.
Tell me if I'm telling lies.
You are 100% accurate. The hungrier you are as a wolf climbing the hill, you're going to be more, like I said, you're going to be more into it. So when you're courting her, you're going to be, you know, Prince Charming, yada, yada. And then when you're married, you're like, well, forget it. Fetch me a beer.
Yeah.
That's the Jets.
You got to schedule sex.
Loogie!
Yes. That's the Jets right now. And basically, every team in this town. Why do we need to do anything? We already have you. That's the world we live in. Jimmy in Sayville. Jimmy.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
So,
Hickey, big fan over the years.
Thank you, man.
But I wasn't a season ticket holder for the Jets for 30 years. And every year their gifts got worse and worse. Mm. It's all about the money, man. They'll give you a little pixie football just to have you pay $40,000 for tickets every year.
Here's what I do want to know, because the Giants are being put over in a major way, and it's making me feel uncomfortable. It's almost like we have to rip the Giants.
But it is not a ripping of the Giants, because I don't know what the Giants used to do.
Well, that's the key question, Teague.
It's the 100th anniversary season.
What did the Giants...
That's such a big deal.
It's a great gift, by the way. I think it's one of the best season ticket gifts ever, so I'm not ripping them for that. Mm-hmm. But here's what I want to know. What do the Giants usually give?
I do not know.
So Giants season ticket holder, let me know, because that's the... If they give you crap normally, but for year 100, everything's fancy. It's like, oh, we'll give this to you for your 50th birthday, but when you're 49, here's a piece of coal. That's what I'm curious about. Before we get to the Mets and mix in some more of your Yankee conversations, let's put a bow on this. A lot of Jet fans are very upset. Their season ticket gift this year sucked. I saw a video now during our last commercial break that explained that the coupons they got are not very good.
Why?
One is 25% off, but a very expensive watch. Another one is a chance to, like, buy wine.
Hmm.
he's intrigued. He's like, oh, that's not that bad. Hmm. Put it this way. None of the coupons they got, we got, because I am now a season ticket holder, is anything that exciting.
Yeah.
It seems like the New York Jets really cheaped out on their season ticket gift this season.
All gas, no break.
Meanwhile, the Giants gave away, you know, fake rings for their championships,
right,
which is pretty cool.
It's just a piece of memorabilia for the Giant fan. I guess there's emotional value because you can look at what the rings look like.
Right.
But there's nothing, it's cool.
Yeah,
it's not tangible.
But it's cool. Yeah. That's the point. I think a Giant fan looks at it and says, that's badass.
Yes.
What I was curious about is, what were the Giants giving away as season ticket gifts last year and the year before that and the year before that? James in Cranford is a Giant season ticket holder. How are you, James?
What's happening, fellas? How you doing?
We're good.
Good. What's up, man?
So, after $20,000 in PSLs, $5,500 a year for tickets, I think 4 plastic cups last year were pretty good.
4 plastic
they
cups?
They maybe lasted 5 months. I think the year before we got a Giants flag that just tore to shreds in the wind.
Yeah.
And then maybe a scarf. And then, you only get 30% off.
All right, so typically it's always the same then.
But you
it's
like...
the same as what the Jets are doing.
This one's kind of cool. But, I mean, it'll go in a drawer and it'll be something my kids got to get rid of when I die.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that. It's very morbid, but it's also true. Like, I was looking back at some of the season ticket gifts I've gotten over the years, and they all end up in the same place. Like, they make you feel good in the moment,
mm-hmm.
and then what do you do with them?
Right. It's not like it's going to take this place of prominence in your house.
Let me ask you this. We've all been to a million weddings, right? At the end of a wedding, usually you get a gift. All right? I gave out wine. We got married at a winery.
Mm.
If it's a cool, like, thoughtful gift, like, sometimes they give you, like, hangover remedies, which I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could be a little creative. Coupons is lazy, too. It's a bad gift.
No, but the point is, like, I think every time we get a gift, you feel good in the moment, or you're angry in the moment, and then it, like, doesn't matter.
And then you don't care.
You never get anything. Like, even the box the Mets sent a few years ago that I raved about on the air, I haven't used it since. I haven't opened it. Actually, wait a second.
What was it? What was in the box?
So you opened the box, and it was like, it played a video about the history of the New York Mets, and it was really cool.
That's actually kind of cool, because that's posterity.
Yeah, but
even if you watch that a decade from now, you'll say, oh, this is cool.
But,
or think about how Mets history has changed since I got this box a decade ago.
That is true. The problem is, I haven't opened up the box since.
Does it still work?
I don't know. In fact, I'm going to try it tonight. I'm going to release a video tonight of me opening up my gift from 2 years ago and see if it still works. Actually, there is one gift I got as a season ticket holder that I take back. I still use to this day.
Mm.
It was one of the best season ticket gifts ever. It was called a tidbit. Are you familiar with a tidbit?
I have no idea what a tidbit is.
So a tidbit, the Mets sent it to me about, I guess it was 2 years ago, and the box may have been 3 years ago. So the tidbit looks like a mini scoreboard. You plug it in, you hook it up to your Wi-Fi, and you could have anything on it. The weather, scores from baseball games, scores from basketball games. And I actually have it in my kitchen, and it displays the weather every single morning.
Oh, nice.
So
there you go.
That's one.
Does it also display Jet scores or Met scores?
If I wanted to. I stopped it because I DVR so many games.
Oh, got it. So you don't want to give yourself the getaway.
Yeah, it spoiled a few games early on, and then I realized, wait a second, I got to put something up on it.
Mm.
But think about it. While that's nice and it's cool and I still use it, that gift is not why you become a season ticket holder.
No, it's just something thoughtful that they send to you.
Yeah, which I appreciate. But at the end of the day, what the hell does it mean?
You know what, Evan? You're a Knicks season ticket holder, correct?
Yes.
You've re-upped?
Yes.
Knicks, if you're listening, get this message. If you're not, please send Evan a Mikal Bridges jersey. Nice little Knicks one for his gift for season tickets. Enjoy that one, pal.
I have already selected my Knicks gifts. See, the Knicks give you choices, okay? One of the choices is Knicks paraphernalia, which I said no thank you to. Another choice is some kind of discount card. I said no thank you to. Mm-hmm. I actually took something, and I don't know why I take this every year, because, again, what am I doing with it? I get a commemorative ticket. So I have a commemorative ticket that says what? Evan Roberts, Knicks season ticket holder. Yes. I have that.
What do you do with them?
So you know what I do with it? I display it, but I block out the Knicks logo where it's displayed. So it just says Evan Roberts season ticket holder, and it's kind of pretty, but you actually don't see the Knicks logo.
Oh, so what does everybody think it is then?
No.
Do they even care?
Nah, nobody cares.
You're the only one that cares.
Yeah. But that's the gift I select from the New York Knicks. Yeah. All right, let me get to the Mets, and we'll get back to your phone calls. You tell me, Tiki, when this season started and you gave the song and dance, this was your opinion. I'm not mocking it.
Mm-hmm.
This is an evaluation year.
Yes.
That was your opinion, right?
Absolutely.
Do you now look at a baseball team that just went 5-1? And oh, by the way, in the 17 games since the Yankees series, a few weeks ago on the air, I said, just go 10-7. That would be what I would want.
Is that what they did?
That is exactly what they did. They went exactly 10-7 over the 17 games against Houston, Washington, Pittsburgh, Washington, and Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
But now that the Mets sit in a postseason spot, they are actually a wild card team right now. They are the third wild card team. They're a half game behind being the second wild card team. And right now they trail 4 games with the Atlanta Braves for the first wild card team.
Yep.
Do you now look at the New York Mets a little differently and not say this is an evaluation year, but instead say, hey, they better make the playoffs?
I still think it is. But I also remember back when we first started talking about this Mets team, when I would say, it's an evaluation year from David Stearns. He's got some moves to make. He's going to experiment with certain guys, or there are players that aren't up to snuff. He's going to send them down and bring up someone else. And we saw this with Brady and Vientos, to be most specific. But you would also say, but they can still win.
Yeah.
Like, they could still, you could be evaluating and still have a team that can win.
Right.
And clearly that's what's happened. Now, we didn't look like that for the first 2 months of the season, but they are a team that can win. And right now, they could, in theory, win against anybody. Now, I don't believe that they're the best team in baseball, but they're playing like one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah, over an extended period of time now.
Exactly. And so you can't just slough that off and say, well, you haven't played the Dodgers, or you haven't, you know, the Phillies haven't come to town. You can easily throw those and what ifs in, but the reality is this Mets team, while still, I think, evaluating who they are and what they're going to be and what the roster is going to look like 2 years from now, they're just good. And they believe in themselves. And it's funny because when we started talking last week, middle of last week, about Brandon Nimmo basically saying, we need a bullpen arm.
Mm-hmm.
And what it created was this internal narrative inside that clubhouse where losing is not, or not making the playoffs is not an option. Right? We know we're good enough.
By the way, I'm glad you said that because, and look, for myself, I now look at baseball as you better make the playoffs. I said that about the Mets coming into the year, even though the expectations weren't high. I think with 3 wild card teams, you better make the playoffs.
Right.
I would look at, there's no season in baseball anymore where I can say that was a good season and you're not in the playoffs.
Right, because different. Of the expanded wild card.
Absolutely. That was different. As a kid, where there's some seasons where I was like, hey, they made some great progress, like 1997. Was a great season as a Met fan. They won 88 games. They didn't make the playoffs. I don't think that's the case anymore in 2024.
Yeah.
So I've always thought that, but I also think now, if you are a New York Met fan, no matter what you thought in March, worst rotation they've ever had, this team stinks, they didn't even try, they signed a bunch of schmucks, whatever line you used, you have to admit that as you sit here today, they better make the playoffs.
Yeah. No.
Like, it would now be a massive disappointment if they're not in the postseason.
Yeah, well, something would have to go grossly wrong, and I don't even want to mention it, like talk about the potential of guys not being available, but that's the only way I see them not getting
or guys are ineffective. Lindor and Nimmo play like they did in April.
But I just can't see that though, because I feel like there's an import, there's an urgency that you see these guys play with every single game. And sometimes it gets away with them, like against Colorado. Colorado's terrible, but still.
They're not going to win every game.
Exactly. Just who was it? Who did the A's score 18 runs on?
The Philadelphia Phillies the other day.
Phillies,
yeah.
Right? Like, Where the hell did that come from? That can happen in any game. But outside of the anomaly, the bad whatever start or just a zero, run generation, you feel like this Met team is good enough to beat almost any team. And so, yes, they better make the playoffs, but I still say this is evaluation year. They still have to evaluate, who's Pete Alonso? What's of these one-year contracts are we holding on to, right? Because Harrison Bader felt like he was a bridge until one of these younger prospects.
But Teague,
then you look at Harrison Bader, he's hitting 270-something.
But you know what? We're past that now because in 15 days, 2 weeks from tomorrow, the trade deadline passes, right? I would think we're all on the same page. They should not trade Harrison Bader. They should trade Pete Alonso.
That's not even what I'm talking
about. So the evaluation's in October.
But
you know what I mean? In November, I mean.
Yes, but there's I think it's a parallel path that they're walking here. We're winning this year. We know it.
Yeah.
And we're going for it. And we'll see whether or not they make any truly aggressive moves at the deadline in the next couple of weeks. But they also still need to build this team for a sustainable future.
Absolutely. Well, I think
it's two jobs that are happening in concurrence to one another.
But in 15 days, they have the deadline to improve this roster.
Yes.
They should add bullpen help, and they should probably add a bat in the outfield because God knows if Starling Marte is ever going to walk through that door.
Yeah.
They don't have to be stars. They can be small moves. I've mentioned Jesse Winker, a guy like Dylan Floro, guys of that nature. And that's it. And then you give it your best shot, and then the evaluation in terms of guys that are free agents at the end of the year, we'll figure it out in November. Nothing you can do now.
So much of this season, it felt like the Mets were going to put themselves in position to win, and they were going to find a way to lose it. I mean, how long? We had that conversation for a month plus, almost 2 months.
Well, they can still do that.
I
understand. They've put themselves in position
But that's what it felt like. It felt like, all right, yeah, they're going to be good enough to beat whoever today, but you know what? The bullpen's going to give it up. I don't have any faith. I think now you have faith.
Well, I don't have faith in the bullpen.
Not the bullpen. I'm talking about in the ability to win.
Well, because they
find a way to win a game.
Because they've overcome the fact that their bullpen is an Achilles heel.
Mm-hmm.
They've overcome it because they score a lot of runs. They've overcome it because their starting pitching recently has gone deep into games, which has been amazing to watch. But they've held on for dear life with this bullpen. And so it could very well be the thing that kills them this year because I don't actually trust that their rotation is going to continue to go deep into games. Like when you get 7 innings out of Sean Manaea, that's like a miracle, you know? And they tried to get innings out of Jose Quintana yesterday. The problem was he was throwing freaking batting practice.
Right.
So there are certainly ways where this can go really, really bad. But I think what the Mets have accomplished for those that were on the fence or just thought they sucked, I think they've brought you in and said, they better make the playoffs, because now you'll be angry if they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I would have been angry either way, but I think for the majority of Met fans who had limited expectations, the bar has now been raised. They are competing with the St. Louis Cardinals. They're competing with the San Diego Padres. They're competing with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Don't tell me they won the pennant last year. They're as good as those teams.
Of course they are.
You can't lose wild card races to these teams.
Yeah.
They have to be a playoff team.
As long as the guys are available, I think the Mets have as good a chance as anybody of getting to and doing something in the postseason.
I think the word you want to use that you didn't want to use
is... I didn't say damage.
Damn.
I did not.
My lawyers will be speaking with
you. I didn't say it. He said it.
It was like last night.
I caught myself, Louie.
There was a moment last night, maybe I'm crazy, where I thought the president was going to say, make America great again. Did you guys pick up on that?
Yeah, he was about to and then caught himself.
Yeah, that was Tinky right now with damage.
Yes.
He was about to say it, and he's like, oh, no, I can't say that.
I'm surprised he caught himself.
Maybe I think we all are. Let's go to Will in New Jersey. What's going on, Will?
Hey, big fan of the show. Thanks for taking the call.
Appreciate it, man. What's on your mind today?
What you were saying about expectations, I mean, I listened to your podcast, the Rico Bronya. I feel like one of those times you said expectations do change. And I feel like for this team, since like the Vientos call-up, Mark and Iglesias, I think the expectations have changed. And definitely they have. Like, we're expecting them to make the playoffs. But,
yes.
Obviously, there's still a lot to see, but I feel like at the deadline, we'll see how much the ownership believes in it. I want them going after big arms in the bullpen because that's going to really show.
But you know what? You know what the challenge of that, Will, is? So there was a trade a few days ago. Very boring to most people, but I'll tell you why it's relevant and why it scares me. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City Royals acquired a guy named Hunter Harvey, relief pitcher of the Washington Nationals. And as soon as that trade went down, the first thing I looked at is, what did they give up? And why that matters is the Mets are in the market for the Hunter Harveys of the world. They need bullpen help. You just heard our last caller say, how serious is ownership about this team winning? I looked at what the Royals gave up, and I was scared.
And
they gave up their second-best prospect, and they gave up something the Mets are actually not allowed to give up, which is a draft pick. Teams are only allowed to trade draft picks if they got it from the competitive balance portion of the pool. So,
but
put that away. The bottom line is the Kansas City Royals traded a top prospect and a soon-to-be top prospect for a relief pitcher who, by the way, is not even that good.
And most people have not heard of him.
So that scares me because while I want bullpen help, we all know the Mets need bullpen help. They cannot be giving up top prospects for average relief pitchers.
So what does that tell you? What does that make you think then about David Stearns and what was going to happen at the trade deadline? That they're not going to do much?
No, sort of. It makes me worried about that possibility, absolutely, but lean towards the idea that they are going to have to use the power of their pocketbook. They're going to have to take back a bad contract or a reliever who has a big contract, or what I have suggested before, and I know a lot of Met fans don't love, and that's using a starting pitcher to trade for a reliever. You know, finding a team that's also trying to win, probably in the American
but
League.
But who are you doing that with? I mean,
Cleveland, Houston, Baltimore.
No. I mean, which one of your starting pitchers? I think the last thing you want to do is get rid of Luis Severino.
Okay, I'll give you a guy. Jose Quintana. Jose Quintana is very solid. He was mediocre yesterday. You have to know the good and the bad of him. The good is he can be great, like he was last year, second half, or 2 years ago, second half with St. Louis. But he could probably get you something significant back.
You, when you say that, and if you had no like personal experience, you're not a New York fan, not even necessarily a Met fan, but just a New York fan, so you know what he's what his up and downs have looked like. When you say Jose Quintana, it's like, I don't know about that.
Well,
but somebody outside of here who can just look at what he's been historically and look at some of the, you know, the things that say good things about him, it makes sense. But it's when you say it as someone who follows New York sports, it's like, I don't know. That's not ideal. That's not appealing.
No, it's not appealing because you're weakening another part of your team.
No, I'm not even saying that. I'm saying from the acquiring team.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not local here, it actually might sound better than what it sounds like to us.
Because we're jaded in that Quintana gave up 18 home runs to the Rockies yesterday.
Yes, exactly right.
And the truth is, he's one of the more reliable pitchers in baseball. Tony's in Brooklyn. What's up, Tony?
Yeah, guys. Love your show.
What's up, man?
Want to get back for the Clay Holmes. You're too forgiving on him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who's the reincarnation of?
Who's that?
Remember the 96 closer for the Yankees?
John Wetland. Mm.
Yes. Heart attack every time he came into the game. Men on base every time he came to the close.
But Tony, think about what you just said, right? So you called up, and I appreciate that. Tiki appreciates that. We love that you called up. We love the interactiveness. And you wanted to put down Clay Holmes. You wanted to rip him. You wanted to say, you guys are too easy on Clay Holmes. And your comparison was a guy that helped you win the World Series as the closer for the team?
Didn't we have one of those yesterday or last week as well with the starting pitcher that came in? Didn't we have that?
Something similar, right?
It was a pitcher, though. I can't remember. He wasn't great.
And here's the creme of the creme, if that even makes any sense. Trivia question. Just a little, let's have some fun. Want to do a little trivia? Now, Tiki normally would have a very tough time with this question because, you know, he played in the NFL. He was active. He wasn't watching the Yankees all the time. So what I would say to you, Tiki, is just use your noodle on this, why I'd be asking you this trivia question.
Go ahead.
Who do you think won the World Series MVP in 1996?
Was it Wetland?
John Wetland! So, yes, you got that right. It's a good job out of you.
Good deduction skills by me.
In your attempt by our last caller to rip Clay Holmes, you compared him to a guy that was at least good enough to be the closer on a world championship team.
He did it on accident. He didn't mean 97, because I screened the call.
96.
He didn't mean 96.
He was gone by 97.
He didn't mean 96 either.
What do you mean?
He meant Kyle Farnsworth. He meant 2006. He got on the air. He got nervous. He wanted to compare him to Kyle Farnsworth, and then he got on the air. He's talking to two big stars.
I don't even remember.
He stunk with the Yankees. He wanted to compare him to Farnsworth. That's who, not Wetland.
I know.
It's funnier, and I didn't. But I just for the fella, if he wants to call back the listeners. But yeah, he meant Kyle Farnsworth, not John Wetland.
But Kyle Farnsworth was like never the Yankees closer.
No, but he was a reliever. He was hard to trust. He just wanted to put him in the same category as Kyle Farnsworth.
I got you.
And he got on the air, and it came out as John Wetland.
I got you.
Mariano Rivera. It happens.
I got you. Well, that's a good job by you, Lugie, protecting him.
Yes.
That's not what his point was.
This is why all the callers love you.
Gotta be fair and balanced.
He's the security guard for them. He's like, listen, that's not actually what he meant. Let's go to Woody in Plattsburgh. What's up, Woody?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Yo, what's going on?
All right. Good to see all the Foxhole guys made it in today.
Except for one.
Yeah, right, exactly.
He's got a pothole problem going on right now.
I saw that on X. That claim is kind of dubious, but whatever. Ev, I got a couple things directly for you.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to take issue with you and Tiki on home.
Yeah.
I happen to be friends with the Immortal guy on X. He had that very funny stuff. He wanted to say he very much appreciated you playing his content last week.
Yes.
Last week.
That is the guy who's done incredible AI of some Yankees, and he did some more over the weekend. Very talented guy, yes.
Exactly what you want to hear Yankees saying, but they never say.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. I just want to let you know. And here we go. Here's now, Ev, I know you're a big fan of 90210, right?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And this past weekend, Shannon passed away.
Yeah,
well,
the
we're
great
gonna do a little,
Shannon Doherty, Brenda Walsh, of course.
Right. We'll do a little 6 degrees of separation here with Kevin Bacon. By the way, I also met Kevin Bacon at my gym, but totally different story.
Nice.
Anyway, so I went to prep school in Connecticut. And as you know, when you attend prep school, you attend school with a lot of the financial elites from this country and other countries.
Right.
And one of my friends was definitely one of the financial elites. 10 years later, I'm sitting home with my girlfriend. We're watching Entertainment Tonight. Da-na-na-na-na-na. And there's my buddy with Shannon Doherty on his arm.
Really?
Dating her.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Wow. He, no kidding. He owned a casino in Utah.
Woody.
If you're going to do a deep... Yes?
No, I have a weird romantic connection with Shannon Doherty as well. Not me. I want to make that clear. It's not me. But I got Shannon. By the way, Shannon Doherty, condolences. Very, very sad. She was battling cancer for a while.
Mm-hmm.
50, Brenda Walsh.
53 years old.
53 years old. So many years ago, my uncle, who is a driver, was a limo driver, Uber driver, taxi. He's driven everything. Claimed to me that he once... hooked up with Shannon Doherty.
Was he driving her?
That's what he was doing. He was driving her. They struck up a conversation and they hooked up. Okay. So
like in his car?
I don't know the details. So this is what I'm told. So I find out this information. A buddy of mine hosted a very popular radio show on Sirius. Had Shannon Doherty on as a guest. To which I start texting him. You know, my uncle claims he hooked up with her.
Okay.
So I got to come on and ask Shannon directly, did you hook up with my uncle? And let me tell you how classy this woman is. All right. She denied it and said, I don't know who this person is. Well, I gave the name and everything. But she was like, but you know what? Maybe he thought we did. You know, maybe we had such a good conversation that in his mind, she just felt bad. She didn't want, like... me to like call my uncle up and be like, you liar. So Shannon was
she denied you.
She was so classy and essentially saying, I have no idea who that guy is. By the way, you want to hear my favorite Shannon Doherty moment?
Tell us.
No, I'm going to play it for you.
Oh,
you don't think we were going to pull clips today?
I mean, I should have known. Knowing how big of a 90210 fan you are.
And her work as Brenda is some of the greatest stuff in the history of TV. I mean, seriously. She was so polarizing back in the day, but that's because she was a great actress.
She needed to be.
Yeah, she's Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take you back to the scene where Kelly and Dylan told Brenda that they were screwing around. And listen to the passion and listen to the anger from Brenda Walsh.
Honesty? Is that what you think this is about, Dylan? I don't think so. Look, I hate you both. Never talk to me again.
She was amazing.
How old was she at that time? Or supposed to be?
I think like, at the time she was supposed to be 16 or 17 years old. But 16. Truthfully, she's probably like 22.
Right. I hate you. Never talk to me again.
Yeah.
She played that perfectly because that's exactly how teenagers react.
Oh, it was unbelievable.